It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Happy you're here today, and happy today we're going to be talking about franchising. We're going to be talking about all things franchising. Our guest is an expert in franchising and recently authored the book Real Freedom, Why Franchises Are Worth Considering and How They Can Be Used for Building Wealth. He also hosts the Franchise Maven podcast. If you're getting the idea that we're talking about franchising, you are right. Let's say hello to Greg Moore. Hello, Greg Moore.
Mark, thank you very much. It's good to be here today.
Great to have you. And so listen, franchising is one of the slickest ways to get into business because you don't have to start from scratch. But I want to hear about how you started from scratch, how you got into this business and how you how you've gotten to this point where you help other people kind of get into the business, and we'll go from there.
Excellent, Mark. I appreciate it. We'll go into the Wayback Machine for just a moment. I won't make it too long. But basically, back when I was in high school, most of us back in the late 70s, when we were in high school, we got a job at fast food. I just happened to pick Taco Bell for whatever reason. Maybe they were hiring at the time, but I didn't know the managers over there as well. But I moved up in the Taco Bell world, started managing some of this lady's restaurants. Turns out she was a master franchiser for Taco Bell, and she owned, her name was Kathy. She owned about 50 Taco Bells throughout the Sacramento, California area. So I helped her build her teams. So that was my first foray into the franchising world. And then fast forward 30 years later, after going through being a restaurant manager for 15 years, a microelectronic circuit engineer for 15 years, I got my MBA degree. Me and another engineering friend of mine, we bought dry cleaners, privately owned dry cleaners, storage units. We had rental properties. We both got out of the corporate world after I was getting my MBA, and I read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Kind of ruined my corporate career for me at that point in time.
It will do that for sure.
Yeah, he does. Probably ruined a lot of corporate careers, but made life better for a lot of people. Right. But I realized at that time there's something better. Now, private business was a bit of a challenge because we didn't know anything about dry cleaning, and trying to figure that out was a real challenge. So I thought, I got to get back into that franchising thing. So I sold off all my half of the business to my friend who left corporate at the same time. He took over those. I said, franchising, I got to get into that. I started clicking all over the internet, trying to figure out which franchise was best for me. I had about 20 different franchise development people calling me all over the place. Finally got a hold of a franchise consultant. He sat me down, really walked me through a nice step-by-step process of figuring out what is the best franchise for me. Got me into my Schooley Mitchell Telecommunications Consulting franchise, and Dennis Schooley, who ran it, great individual. He really set the stage for what franchising was all about, all the training, all the step-by-step process and procedures. So I ran that for a couple of years, but I really liked what that franchise consultant did. So I went back to him and I said, teach me what you do. I want to do that. That was 10, 12 years ago, and I haven't looked back since.
Now, what was that franchise that you got into? You said it really fast. I didn't catch it.
Okay. Sorry, that's Schooley Mitchell Telecommunications Consulting. So what I did was I went around to businesses at the time and I helped them in cost savings for their telecommunications needs, specifically their telephone needs. Now, since that 10 years ago, Dennis has expanded out into all sorts of cost reduction for businesses there. But basically, I went to the business owners, and we're talking people with lots of phones. So think of like your car dealership, your automotive dealership, where they have, you know, all those extensions, all those lines out there. So I analyzed their telecommunications bills, figured out how much they were spending, and then I took a look at three other companies that had the similar or better services for a lower price. And then I took over as their telecommunications consultant person, and I got them a lower price, shared in the savings. We shared 50-50 in whatever savings I came up for them. And then I basically just took over all of anything that they needed for telecommunications. They called me if they needed anything, and I made everything run seamlessly at a lower cost.
That's so interesting because most people, when you hear about franchises, you know the answer to this. You think about restaurants, right? And, you know, restaurants are the ultimate franchising business model. But interesting that I really wanted to key on that. You know, you had a telecommunications business model, which is interesting. And now I know there are lots of business consulting franchises out there. And but most people don't think about that. So franchising is kind of a wide open field. But what are the benefits of getting into a franchise rather than just starting something on your own? I mean, I think a lot of us know them, but let's just go ahead and recap and review what those benefits are.
You got it, Mark. So what it is that when you step into a franchise, That franchise has already developed all those processes and procedures and systems in place. They've already gone through it. They've already made the mistakes that most of us, like my friend and I, did when we bought the dry cleaning business. They already made those mistakes along the way. So they've got all the way, and they've got a step-by-step process, basically a business in a box, for you to just walk in, follow their processes and procedures on that step by step. You're never wondering what do you do next. Because you've got a mentor there, you've got all those other franchisees that are helping you. So you can just, if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, don't have the latest, greatest idea like I did not, you just step right in, take over the business, they teach you everything you need to know, and you're off and running.
And how do you know that you're stepping into something like, for example, your schooly telecommunications business? You know, very few people have heard of that. How do you know you're getting with a reputable group of people? And I'll tell you why I'm asking you that story, because I was involved in franchises a couple of decades ago in a restaurant, quick serve restaurant business, and the people at what we call the mothership were not exactly what I believe were above board, and I think they were overspending, and they had credibility from another business, but they didn't have credibility in that particular business that they were running. So how do you know you're getting into something with the right people?
Good question, Mark. What you're going to do is when we go through the due diligence process together, or if you do it by yourself, when you go through the due diligence process, is you want to take a look at those franchise disclosure documents in there. And what it's going to do is they're just going to give you a background of the people that are running that franchise business. So take a look at that. What kind of experience do those people have in franchising or in that business itself? Check and see if there's any bankruptcies. Check and see if there's any litigation. All that will be in the franchise disclosure documents. Now, the background of the people, just because they don't have any experience in their in franchising, may or may not be a good or bad thing, depending on you. I know I had a couple people that in the last chapter in my book who didn't have any experience in franchising, and they started up a senior care company. But when you look at their background and why they did it, and their reasons for it, and their passions for it, that can kind of resonate with you as well. So they had aging parents on there. They both did. They're trying to figure out a way to help them out, and they grew it. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for why are these people running this business? Why are they doing it? If you want to reduce your risk quite a bit on there, you go with a franchise that has been around for a number of years
Yeah.
on that one. Nothing wrong with emerging franchises. All sorts of great reasons to get into emerging franchises, but your risk is going to be a little bit higher with that. Why you want something that's been around for a number of years is you want to see that they've reproduced it in many different cities and many different states. So you know that wherever they go, the people in that area need that service or that product. You know that they've reproduced it. And then you call all those franchisees, which you'll be expected to do with any great franchise system after you've gone through the franchise disclosure documents. Call all those franchisees or as many as possible to you, so you can get a good feel of how they feel about the business. Would they do it again if it was, if they had to do it all over again? How are they doing? How is the training? How is the support systems? When you've got a franchise that's been around for, 5, 10 years, then you want to look at some of those franchises that have been around since the beginning on that. Why are they still with them? Is that franchise still offering them a great benefit that keeps them around and keeps them going?
So who is, you know, let's stay on the positive side, because there are a lot of positive benefits to being in a franchise business. Who are the ideal people that should be involved in a franchise? Who are your ideal clients?
Yeah, Mark, that's something I go over with my people all the time on that. Ideally, you want to make certain that one, you're a little bit risk averse. There's always going to be a risk with business, no matter what. So you got to be have a little bit of risk tolerance there. You've got to be trainable. You got to be coachable, because you're going to get a mentor on that. They're going to walk you through the whole system. So you got to be able to realize the fact that you're going to be trained, you're going to be mentored on that, and you have to be able to follow a process and procedure on that, because that's why you're buying into that franchise. That's why you're investing that in that franchise to begin with, because they already have that procedure and that process already in place. So you don't want to think that you're going to go out there and do something different, or you're going to improve on what they have. You don't want to do that. You want to make certain that you go in there and you follow that process and procedure on that. That's what you're getting into a franchise for.
So I'm the kind of guy that says, all right, how can I make this better? That's like my primary question in business is like, I see something, I'm like, how can I make this better? So I get involved in a franchise and I see something that I want to make better. But I have some experience that when you try to make it better in a franchise system, That doesn't work so well. What do you tell somebody like me?
Start with Mark following what they have.
Right.
They've done it before. It's been a proven business model. You vetted them out. So you've got it, gone through the franchise, you've gone through the due diligence process. Everything is perfect. Get in there, do what they tell you to do, do what they show you to do for a while until you get familiar with that system.
Right.
All franchises, I'd say, well, I wouldn't go that far. Let's go with almost all franchises. They improve because their franchisees come up with different things that they can do. So the franchise will tell them, what you'll do is you'll say, listen, I see where over here we can improve this. This is what I'd like to do to change it. You work with your franchisor on that. They say, okay, you'll be our flagship model on that. Let's give that a try. Now, some of them are even more open than that. I had a lady that got into a tutoring franchise in the Las Vegas Valley, and she came from the hotel motel industry. And right out of the gate, she said, you guys have never hit up the hotels and motels for doing this. They said, well, that's not in our business model. But if you want to, you've been in there for a while. So if you want to give it a try, by all means, go for it. Let us know how it does. That didn't work out so well. She got off to kind of a rocky start on that one.
Okay. All right.
So, but she did change back over to their model, and then everything worked out. But that's how franchisors improve, is because you as a franchisee will see things that can be changed. You'll try it. You'll get a couple other franchisees to try it as well, working with the franchisor. Everything works out great. You've improved the system.
So I come in and I want to start something, right? And I know it's really hard to do that. And I want to start it, but I want to take less risk. So I fall into your ideal client. And then I go, well, I'm really good at, let's call it restaurants, for example. What might I expect to spend to get into a business in a restaurant? Of course, it's different, right? For a McDonald's, and it's different from a small coffee shop franchise. But what kind of money do I have to put out? And are there financing options available? Those kinds of things.
Yep.
And also, maybe you could break that down into a franchise fee versus out of pocket, things like that. So, kind of break down what expenses I can expect. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine Trading Program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
You got it, Mark. So two different types of franchises. You're talking about brick and mortar franchises with that.
Okay.
On that one. So the brick and mortar franchises are going to be a little bit more. So they're first off, they're going to want to see from you about a $500,000 net worth so that you don't run out of money. That's also going to help towards you getting that loan that you can go with it. So SBA loan, or you can use a 401k or IRA rollover if you want to use your money versus using somebody else's money on that. Funding for franchises is very simple. As long as you've got good credit, then they just look at the past record of the franchise. So while my people, the franchise I work with, really easy to get funding for on those simple SBA loans. For a brick and mortar, you'd probably go with a 7A loan, put about 20% down. Franchise fee itself, what you asked about there, it doesn't matter whether you get in the service industry or the brick and mortars, right around $50,000 is what you're looking at for the franchise fee. And that gets you the renting of that business model, the leasing of that business model, and everything you need to know on how to run that business. Now, when you get into the brick and mortar, you're going to have what you alluded to, Mark, there was above that franchise fee. What is the total investment that you're going to be looking at there? So for something in the restaurant industry, you're probably looking at around $400,000 on up or so. As you mentioned before, McDonald's, they've got that big standalone building usually. So that's, you're looking at $1 million or so for something like that. But quite a few of them, what they'll do is they'll lease out a space and you'll just retrofit a space there. So you may get some kickback from the landlord on that. So your total investment may vary on that franchise investment that you do on there. But figuring brick and mortar, They usually start around $250,000, $300,000, and then go up from there. And again, good net worth from you to make certain that you don't run out of money, because nobody wants you to run out of money. You don't want to, and neither does the franchise. If you go into the service industry, though, you're looking at a right around $150,000 total investment, franchise fee plus everything that you need to do it, because then it'll just be a small office or work from home on there. So there's not a big build out on something like that.
Plus, the idea is you have to bring some work ethic to the table as well, right?
Yes, indeed. It's going to be a good vetting out process. They're going to be looking at you. You're going to be looking at them, and they may decide you're not a good fit. You may decide they're not a good fit, but that's what the whole vetting process is about. Work ethic is definitely one of them.
Now, what are some of the big pitfalls of getting into a franchise business? Because not everything is rosy and works out perfectly. What do you have to look for, or what would you advise people that, hey, look, here are some of the things that you definitely need to look out for when you're getting into a franchise business?
Yeah, so first of all, be comfortable with the fact that you're going to be putting some time into it on
Okay.
that. Not all franchises are owner operator on that. So they'll let you know right up front. They want you to be an owner operator. So they want you to be, full time, no other job, no other business. Step right into it. You're doing it all. There's other franchises that you can do semi-absentee or semi-passive, where you're putting in 10 to 15 hours a week. You hire a manager to do it. You manage the manager, you manage the profit and loss statements. Either way, what you've got to look for is that you're going to be putting some time into that. That is something. And then find out if you're going to go semi-absentee, talk to semi-absentee owners to find out what does that semi-absentee really mean as far as the number of hours that you're putting in, because it's going to vary by different franchises for how you do that. So that's the biggest pitfall, is people have to look at, are they ready to commit that time? The other one is, are you ready to commit that money to it as well? What are you comfortable putting into it? Also realize the fact that you're going to be paying royalties off of the gross, the top end income on that. Royalties are what keeps that franchise in business, keeps it going. The more you make, the more they make. So your royalties are generally going to be between about 5 and 10% on that. As far as the other pitfalls, it's still your business, so you can sell it at any time. On that, you do check with the franchisor when you're going to sell it. They'll have certain stipulations. They'll have to approve the buyer, just like they approved you on that. But franchise resales are pretty easy. I have a lot of people that like to buy franchise resales on that. But keep in mind, you will have somebody telling you there will be a list of things you can do and things you cannot do on that. So keep that in mind on the pitfalls. And there's also going to probably be in there some sort of a non-compete, so you can't get any other business that's similar to the franchise that you're running, because they don't want you to compete with them whatsoever.
So if you're going to get into a franchise business, it's a lot of time and a lot of money. So it's not like a freebie and you just walk in and you delegate it out. You've got to be willing to do some work and have a work ethic, and because nothing is easy in life, right? But at the same time, you're going to have to want to love what you're doing. Like you're going to want to not just go into a business because you think you can make a good amount of money. You want to go to that business because you're going to be working in it. You're going to want to love it. You're going to want to love the hours, and you're going to want to, make sure that you have a passion for it, right?
Not necessarily a
Oh.
real big passion, no. I've got quite a few people, especially my real estate investors, since they work with the housing all the time. They like home services, the service industry franchise. So they're not necessarily passionate about plumbing, or
Okay.
passionate about electricity or air conditioning, but it does make a lot of money. They're very passionate about making a lot of money. We keep it all legal, moral, and ethical. Other than that, some of those businesses are probably would be considered quite boring. Some of them might be micro type businesses where it is dirty jobs, but not a lot of people do them, and you make a lot of money. So quite a few of my people are just passionate about making a lot of money. And just keep in mind, when you're doing those sort of businesses, you're somebody's hero. I mean, if your AC breaks, and you go in there and fix it, it might not be the most exciting thing, and it's something you can't get passionate about, but you're somebody's hero when you go in there and fix that.
Right, sure. Well, that's fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it. What do you guys do, and how can people get involved in it? Because I know you've written a book and you have a podcast all about franchise. You got to get tired of talking about franchising all the time, but how
Not
do
yet. Not yet. It's been 12 years, and I still get
still
pretty
like
tired.
it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. You seem like you have a good passion for it. So, tell us a bit about what you do.
So people come to me, Mark, when they are wanting to get into a business of their own. They want to run their own business, want to take control of their future, but they don't know exactly which one they want to get into. So I work with the International Franchise Professionals Group on that IFPG. We have a little over 500 different franchises in our portfolio on that, and I do a matchup between those. So they come to me, people come to me. I don't know which franchise business I want to get into. This is, and then I just take them through a nice little process. Just like the franchise takes you through a process, I take you through a step-by-step process. You know, where have you been? So what do you bring to the table? What's your background? What's your skill set on that? Where are you at now? How much time do you want to invest in that franchise? Part-time, 10 to 15 hours a week, full-time, let me know. How much are you comfortable investing in that franchise on that? And then where do you want to be from now? What do you want that franchise to do for you on that one? So that what I can do then is after I get to know you as well as I can, then I can come up like kind of like match.com and Realtor all rolled into one. And then I match you up with franchises that are looking for people like you and looking to expand out in whatever city you're into. So I'll come back with 5 or 10 different opportunities. We'll go through those 5 or 10 different opportunities together. We'll narrow it down to 2 or 3. I will introduce you to the franchisor. Then I will walk you through that investigation process. I've got CPAs, I've got funding people, I've got franchise attorneys that'll let you know what you're getting yourself into and make certain that you're okay with that. Good part of the vetting process on that is a franchise attorney knows what to look for in a franchise disclosure document and franchise agreements. So if there's anything out of the ordinary, unusual, they'll be able to spot it. I've got this all outlined in my book. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, grab the book. It'll outline everything that I've gone through today in a little bit more detail, step-by-step process on that. But that's what I take you through. And I'm here to help, I consult you, and there's no charge for my services. The franchisors will pay me a referral fee if you decide to invest in one of the franchises I introduce you to.
Wow, fantastic. A question for you though, that comes up. What if somebody hasn't ever applied for an SBA 7(a) loan or anything like that? If I recall my documentation, that's a pretty rough process. Like there's a lot of documents that you have to fill out. Who helps them do that?
I've got a couple of people that are experts at SBA loans. For the service industry, being an express loan, you put about 20 grand down, they give you about $150,000, $200,000 on that. They will help you walk through that. My people do this all the time with potential franchisees and funding franchises. So my SBA people are experts. And actually, the SBA process, yeah, anytime you want to get a loan, it's a lot of paperwork on that. And you're going to be filling out some paperwork. You're going to be pulling out a little paperwork for me, but it's only about 10 or 15 minutes. Franchisor's going to have you fill out some paperwork. So yeah, you're going to be filling out some paperwork, part of the process, but the SBA people will help you with that, walk you through it. Step-by-step guide takes about a month. My people are really quick.
Wow, that's great. All right, so how do people find out a bit more about you? Where do they go to get your help? Because it sounds like you are the middleman between I don't know what I'm doing and I'm in business. So it sounds like that's your job. How do people find out more about you, Greg?
Yeah, exactly, Mark. Thanks. Go to my website, franchisemaven.com. That's franchise, MAV as in Victor, EN.com. Email me at greg@franchisemaven.com or just pick up the phone and give me a call. 361-772-6401.
Okay, we'll have all that stuff linked up, but that's super, Greg. And listen, it's cool to kind of explore different things. We talk about real estate, we talk about stocks, and it's nice to talk about business from an expert like you. So thank you for your time and your wisdom. And for everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say. Thank you for your time and wisdom, and never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, and I'll see you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.